If we can turn in the Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, the Acts of the Apostles, and it's chapter 1, and we'll read the first 11 verses. So that's Acts chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 1 through to verse 11. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, having seen of them forty days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and having assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the other parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they yet beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And this is God's holy word. Well, this morning we looked at the great exchange. Tonight it's the great exchange accomplished. We saw this morning what the great exchange gives us. We didn't have time to look at what it makes us, but it gives us an eternal security. Just briefly, it gives us a new direction, it gives us a new beginning, it gives us a new love, a new character, and a new destination. And that's our eternal security. That's the great exchange. That's Jesus Christ taking our sin and giving us his righteousness. So tonight it's the great exchange accomplished, what he has done. And the first thing we would ask was, how is the great exchange accomplished? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us how this great exchange was accomplished. And this is what it says. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's his Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you're wondering how this great exchange was accomplished, this is how it was. The Father laid upon his Son our sin and gave unto us, imputed to us, his righteousness. That's the great exchange accomplished. God sending his Son into the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Well, there's the great exchange. We are perishing. But the scripture said we will not perish if we trust and have faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how was it accomplished? Christ on the cross. Where was it accomplished? Well, Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 tells us there, it tells us in the four Gospels, it was at Calvary. It was in the garden where it started, really, where the pain started, where the anguish started. And then it followed through to the next morning until the afternoon, until the afternoon, and it was at Calvary. But it didn't finish at Calvary, because he said in John chapter 19, verse 30, it is finished. So it was accomplished because he went on the cross. It was accomplished because he took the death that we so deserve, and he said, it is finished. And then why? Why was it accomplished? This great exchange. Well, it was for two reasons, really. First, it was for the glory of his Father. God sent his Son to do a work. And the first thing that the Lord wanted to do was not concerning our salvation, it was concerning the glory of his Father. Because it says there in John chapter 4, when he was talking to the woman, and then his disciples came and they asked him if he wanted something to eat. Why don't you have something to eat? And he says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. In Luke chapter 22 and 42, it tells us there. Luke chapter 22 and 42. He says, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And then again in John chapter 17 and verses 1 and 4, we read these words. And this was all for his Father's glory. And we read these words. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son. Now he could have left it there. Glorify me. Let the people see that's me that's going to the cross. But he didn't finish there. He says, glorify me. Why? That I might glorify you. So his first thoughts when he came from heaven was not our salvation, but it was his Father's glory. And the only way he could bring that Father's glory is by finishing the work that the Father gave him to do. And again in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth by finishing the work which thou gavest me to do. So there's the great exchange accomplished. How was it accomplished? By going to the cross. Where was it accomplished? On the cross. And why was it accomplished? Well, first and foremost, it was to bring glory to his Father. There's only one time we read that Jesus asked for his own will, and that's in John chapter 17 and verse 24, where he says, Father, my will is that those whom thou hast given me will be with me. Every other time it's your will in the garden. You can take this away, but not my will. Your will be done. And secondly, the reason was for his people's salvation. John chapter 10, verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. 1 Timothy 1, 15, he says, I have come to save sinners. This is the great exchange accomplished. Accomplished by he who was sent by his Father. And when he said it's finished, in John chapter 19 verse 30, when he said it's finished, he said it's accomplished. We can imagine the word would come to the Son going home. He rose the third day, and after 40 days spent with his disciples, he ascended, as we read in Mark chapter 16 and Acts chapter 1. It tells us there that he ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father on high. I could imagine, doesn't tell us of course, but I could imagine that when the angels heard such words, that he was coming home, there must have been a great shout ringing in heaven in anticipation of renewed worship. I don't know if the Father told the angels. I don't know if they knew themselves that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he said it's finished, because they could hear that he was coming home, and then when he went into the tomb and he resurrected and he spent the 40 days here, he would have known he was coming home. I could imagine there would have been a great shout. And this great shout was an anticipation of worship. What worship? Well, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us, God says through the writer to the Hebrews, let all the angels worship him. From the angels' creation, I'm talking about not the fallen angels. The fallen angels have no more, that God has abandoned them. But the angels that were kept, the angels that were kept holy, their one desire was to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And I could imagine when he stood there on the mount and he started to rise up, I could imagine there being a shout that would go through the whole of heaven, the whole of the universe. We don't know how many angels there are, but they must have all shouted at once, Jesus is coming home. He has been gone 3 years. And we've watched what he's went through. His agonizing agonies. And now he's coming home. We'll be able to worship him again as we did before. Anticipation of renewed worship. But my dear friends, you need to notice this. So when the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up. And in verse 9 of Acts chapter 1, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Jesus just didn't go. He had finished the work. He just didn't come. The Father sent him. The Father gave him into the world. And the Father was taking him up. And it's interesting to know that he just didn't disappear. He just didn't go up of his own steam, if I can put it that way. But he was taken and he was received. And who was he taken up by? He was taken up by the Father. And who was he received up by? He was received by the host of heaven. I was going to sing this hymn tonight, but I didn't know the tune, and I couldn't find one with DCM. But listen to what it says, and this is from Psalm 24. Ye gates, lift up your heads on high, ye doors that last for aye. Be lifted up, that so the King of glory enter may. But who of glory is the King? The mighty Lord is this. E'en that same Lord, that great in might and strong in battle is. Ye gates, lift up your heads, ye doors, doors that do last for aye. Be lifted up, that so the King of glory enter may. But who is he that is the King? of glory, who is this? The Lord of hosts, and none but He, the King of glory, is. And you can get that from Psalm 24. Lift up the gates, lift up the doors. And who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. So it was the Father that took Him up, but it was the angels that received Him up. What a wonderful thing it is to be able to read these things and to think that Jesus is going home, taken up by the Father and received up by the host of heaven. So it's the great exchange. It's the great exchange accomplished. It's the great exchange accomplished, but not quite. Not quite. Am I contradicting myself by saying the great exchange accomplished? Am I contradicting myself by saying, but not quite? Accomplished, yes. But that was all the ground and the crosswork. John chapter 19, 30, where He says it's finished. It was accomplished, yes. But it was only the groundwork. It was the work that Jesus accomplished here on the cross. All accomplished, yes. And when was that? I hope you can understand what I'm trying to get at. He did accomplish what the Father sent Him to do, and that was on earth, the groundwork and the crosswork. But it wasn't accomplished yet fully. There was something else for the Lord Jesus Christ to do. And what was that? Well, I've got one or two verses here. John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. John chapter 17, verse 24. Father, I will that those whom You have given Me be with Me where I am. Acts 1:11. And ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 to 8. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 to 8. Now here gives the difference. From 5 to 8 it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was the groundwork and the crosswork. He still has a future work to do. And hear what it says here in verse 9 to verse 11. Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see the two things there. There's the earth work. He humbled Himself and took upon Him the form of a servant. But then when He went home, nearly everyone that we've read is saying that He's coming back. that's the accomplishment. That's all been accomplished. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Again, this tells us that there's still a work to do. It's not a work concerning the way of salvation, it's the work after salvation. And it tells us there in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, 34, 41 and 46. And this is what they say. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 31, I should have read that first. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And then he'll say that in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And he'll say again on verse 41, Then shall he say unto them on his left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then again in 46 it tells us there, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. So yes, it's the great exchange accomplished. But only on earth. It's not fully accomplished. He is still to come back again. And the question arises again, has the great exchange accomplished, affected you? I asked you that this morning. The great exchange, has it affected you? Has it reached your heart and your soul? Has it caused you to see Christ as the only way of salvation? And he's coming back. Everyone I read there talks about him coming back again. I started with Jesus' own words. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. And every promise it tells us there, Paul tells us in Corinthians, every promise is yea and amen in him. He can be trusted. Paul tells us when he's writing to Titus, he's a God who cannot lie. He cannot lie. You've lied and I've lied on many occasions. But Christ has never lied. God the Father has never lied. God the Holy Spirit has never lied. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Even in Malachi we have there, I am the Lord, I change not. We have a God. And the psalmist said, this God is our God. We have a God who is just and righteous, gracious and merciful, long-suffering. I think it's Psalm 137 where it tells us there every verse, His mercy endures forever. It's either 136 or 137. It's one of them anyway. Let's just check up and see if we can get it right. Yes, 136. Every verse, 26 verses. And every verse says, For he is good, his mercy endures forever. Forever. In the past. Today. And forever. His mercy will endure. That's why Jesus could say, I will build my church. Because his mercy is forever. And have you tasted that mercy? Has it come to your attention that you need that mercy because you're a sinner? The Bible says we have all sinned. Everybody has sinned. Everybody, even our king and our queen, have sinned. Even the Prime Minister and the President of America, everyone has sinned, the Bible says. God says everyone has sinned and they've come short of the glory of God. That's the main thing that we need to be aiming at, is the glory of God. Because that's what His Son set out to do when He came from heaven. It was to glorify His Father. Father, glorify Me that I might glorify Thee. It's wonderful. These truths are wonderful. I'll give you all I owe. All I own, I should say. If you can find me another book that's like this. Go to all your religions and ask them for a book and bring it and compare it with this. And you'll see that it's nothing. This is the book. Because this is God's infallible word. God's inspired by the Holy Spirit for these men to write it down. It's not what they thought they were writing down. It's what God said you have to write down. God wants everything to be right. And the number of times that God's word says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know. You can only enjoy things if you know about them. If you don't know about things, you're wondering. And you have no assurance. You keep thinking. But when you know, Paul says, I know whom I have believed. Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives. And Jesus Himself says, I know. What more evidence do we need tonight, my dear friends? What more evidence do we need tonight that God is a gracious God? He has sent His Son into the world. And His Son is the same yesterday, today and forever. He will never change. He will never look down on this earth and say, well, it's just too bad. I'll have to change my ways if I'm going to save anyone. Oh no. God will never change His ways. He will never change His purposes. He will never change His promises. I have went to prepare a place for you, and if I have gone to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And there's one, Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7. Behold, He cometh with the clouds. He's coming in the clouds. I don't know how many clouds, I don't know how big they'll be, but He's coming in the clouds. And listen to this, my dear friends, because this affects you and it affects me. This is what it says. He cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see Him. That's your eyes, and it's my eyes. It's Adam's eyes. And it's the last person on this earth to be born when Christ comes back again. It's everyone's eyes. Now, what does that tell you? If I'm going to be looking at Him, He's going to be looking at me. And we must ask ourselves, what's He going to see? I know what I'm going to see. Isaiah tells us, your eyes shall see the King in all His beauty. That's what I'm going to see. What's He going to see? Is He going to see me in my sin? My filthy rags? Or is He going to see me clothed in His righteousness? Well, I can say this tonight because the Holy Spirit testifies with my spirit that I have been saved, that when He comes, He'll see me clothed in His righteousness, not my own. But I'll see Him. And I shall see the King in all His beauty. Every eye shall see Him. Even those who pierced Him. That soldier that stood there with the spear, he'll see him appear. Those soldiers who nailed in the nails on his hands and his feet, those soldiers that put the crown of thorns on his head, those soldiers that took the rods and hit him over the head, they'll all see him. The high priest and all those, as I said this morning, all those who spat upon him, they'll all see him. And what will they do? Well, it tells us there in Matthew chapter 25. They'll be cast out into the place that was prepared for Satan and his angels. And what will he say to those who are clothed in his righteousness? Enter into the place that was prepared for you before the foundations of the world. These are important matters. These are matters that should cause us not to be able to sleep tonight if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. Because he could take you through the night. And where would you be? My dear friends, you would have no answer. No answer whatsoever. In fact, the only thing you would say when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, the only thing that you would say is this: Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You may not want to do it now, but you'll do it then. You'll have no option. Because the way I just read it there in Philippians, that God has highly caused his Son to be in such a position that every knee shall bow before him. Have you ever thought about every knee bowing before Jesus Christ? How many people have been born? Billions and billions and billions. And yet every one of them from Adam will be bowing the knee together before the separation comes in Matthew chapter 25, when he separates the sheep from the goats. They'll all be there. And they'll all be saying, Jesus is the Lord, yes. And they'll all be cast into hell. And it'll be just a few words that they'll be reminded of in them. Only a few words, I believe, that they'll be saying. I've never heard them, but I can imagine this is what they'll be saying. If only. If only. If only I had listened to that man in the pulpit. If only I had took out my Bible and read it. If only I had listened. And can you imagine you going through all eternity in the burning fire where the worms never die? And this is what's on your mind. If only. Oh, if only. I wish I had. Why was I so stupid? But as I said this morning, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 4, it tells us there, today is the day of salvation. You have time to repent. That's why God has still given us life. We have time to repent. Turn from our sin and turn towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you it. I am. Jesus said, I am. And when he said that to the people that come to arrest him, they all fell back. Christians don't fall back. Christians fall forward. We fall on our face as we worship Jesus. In many of the churches today, the people fall back. But it's not being Christianity. Christians fall forward. We always fall forward. But they will fall back. I've tried this morning and I've tried this evening to show you that there is such a thing as a great exchange. And that great exchange has been accomplished concerning the work of salvation. But it's not completed because there's still a work of restoration to take us back home. That day hasn't come. And it's only because of God's goodness and grace that that day hasn't come. Because he has given us time to repent. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'll finish with this. Psalm 95, 7 and 8. I read that this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. I've just quoted that. Psalm 95, 7 and 8 tells us there, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2 tells us, today is the acceptable time. You see, there's these two words. Accepted is ours. Acceptable is God's. Today is acceptable, accepted time. That's ours. But it's also acceptable. And that's God. My dear friends, if you are not saved tonight, flee. Don't wander. Flee. Don't walk. The Bible says, flee. Where from? From the wrath to come. Where to? To he who has dealt with his wrath. He has become our propitiation. He is the one who has appeased the anger of this great and glorious God, which was lent towards me, and he took it. He gave it, and he took it, and it's free from me now. Let's pray.